The world we know is changing. I'm Moira Gunn, and welcome to Biotech Nation. Before the pandemic, just about everyone knew about DNA. But with the COVID vaccines, we learned about mRNA creating a decoy spike protein to alert our immune systems to the potential future arrival of an actual COVID virus. Dr. Sanjay Shukla, the president and CEO of Atire Pharma, takes us one tiny step further to an unprecedented way to create new medicines. Atire's first drug candidate is looking to treat pulmonary sarcoidosis. Dr. Shukla, welcome to the program.
Nice to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Now, just a few years ago, we wouldn't have been able to find the words in everyday English to talk about what your company, Atire Pharma, is doing today. But we lived through a pandemic, and the newest vaccines are these mRNA vaccines. Now, just to remind the listeners, our entire programming, each of our bodies, our DNA, that's all of our bodies. And as we live and breathe and go about our life, it's constantly the tiny parts of that total DNA programming, they're copied. And those copies are called mRNA, messenger RNA. And when each of those mRNA programs are run, if you will, it produces a protein. And we learn that with the COVID mRNA vaccines. We use technology to program the mRNA to create a spike protein, which appears on a whole COVID virus, but without the virus behind it. So when you got an mRNA vaccine, the mRNA produced the COVID spike protein, and our immune system saw this isolated spike protein and created a big immune response. So later, when a real COVID virus entered our bodies with a real spike protein, our immune system saw it and said, oh, seen you before, and eliminated it. So now let's get back to our bodies. We have DNA, the entire program for the body. Then these short mRNA programs are picked up and copied, and the mRNA produces a protein. And now we're ready to understand a little more. I know you just got used to DNA, mRNA, protein, but now we're ready for just a little more, and that's where Atire Pharma comes in. Now, my first question to you, Dr. Shukla, is relative to the little more, to the DNA, mRNA protein. And as I understand it, for the mRNA to build that protein, we need to know that a protein is a string of amino acids, and the mRNA builds this string of amino acids one amino acid at a time. So for each one, the mRNA needs two things, a tRNA, a transfer RNA, and a matching enzyme called a tRNA synthetase, which we won't say again, but it's a matching enzyme. So to our DNA mRNA protein, to produce that protein, the mRNA needs a series of tRNA and matching enzyme pairs, each of which build in line an amino acid. Now, did I get that right, at least in simple terms?
Yes, you definitely essentially got that correct. I'd give you a B on that test for sure.
Passing. Very good.
You're doing really
very
well,
good.
Moira. Very complex here. We are trying to understand things in more simple terms. But essentially, yes, in developing proteins, the part of translating our code from DNA into those proteins involves a number of players beyond mRNA. And tRNA plays a big role. But we also need a matching enzyme pair, and these are called tRNA synthetases. And that helps us build one amino acid at a time, the real protein that is coded in our DNA. So this is essentially correct, and I think you've done a nice job there.
Okay, I'm going with my B so far. Unlike my students who all want A's, I'm real happy with a B. Now, science knows this, and it is well understood, but that wasn't understood and was subsequently proven by the scientific founder of your company, Dr. Paul Schimmel. Tell us about Dr. Paul Schimmel, and tell us about what he believed and then proved about this tRNA matching enzyme process.
So Dr. Schimmel has been a pioneer in RNA and tRNA biology, first at the MIT, at MIT, and then later at the Scripps Institute. He's founded pioneering RNA companies like Alnylam, but what he really discovered recently is this interaction between these tRNA enzymes and how they basically do more than just link this reaction with an amino acid. So this matching enzyme has a specific job to link a specific amino acid to help build proteins. And this was understood for some time. But what Dr. Schimmel discovered is, for some reason, these matching enzymes break apart into small fragments. And those fragments do something very, very different. And they seem to be an untapped area of immunology that we now can understand, and we learn more at ATIR about this. We are looking at the fragments of these key players within our cells that help us make proteins and discovering they're doing some extraordinary things outside of the cell when they break apart into these small fragments.
Okay, so they go down into small fragments, and each of these small fragments do something different? These little guys?
Yes, these little guys, of which we've mapped out about 400 of these, seem to play a role in helping us basically live our lives and control our immune system locally. What I mean by that is at the level of your lungs or your liver or your heart or your kidneys. So they're working in the background there to keep everything safe and organized, and also helping us deal with injury and infection and things like that. So they're working in the background, and these little guys are essential to our health. We've been able to map approximately 400 of these little guys with looking at healthy people. And I could right now take some of your blood and start to basically see your levels of some of these fragments. And we have been able to then see where they are enriched. Some are enriched in the lungs, some are enriched in other organs. But it's a very exciting area of science that Dr. Schimmel discovered.
So he proved that this was happening. And then a ATIR comes along, and the first thing it has to do is map, well, where are they and at what levels? Now, who are you looking at? Are you looking at people with illnesses, or are you looking at healthy people?
So the first thing was to look at healthy people to really draw this map and to say, where are these guys functioning? Are they functioning more in the lungs? Are they functioning more in the heart? And different ones of these different fragments migrate to different parts of our body. Some are involved in controlling things in the muscle. Some are involved in controlling things in the liver. Others are involved in controlling things in the lung. And one of the things we learned early on is they seem to play a role in controlling inflammation and fibrosis. So this is something that ATIR was founded to really develop therapies and therapeutics from these small fragments. And how could we then help and assist patients who may have dysfunction with particular organs? So it's really learning from healthies and then applying that on where we can supplement and assist folks and patients who are having maybe issues with a specific organ.
So how do you get the right little guys into a person?
Well, we have tools available to us in the biotech community to take these fragments and essentially bioengineer therapeutics out of it. So we've come a long way to bioengineer and make more of these fragments, make them more potent, and essentially make them in a form that now you can essentially receive an infusion. Our lead therapy is infused through an IV bag, a one-hour infusion once a month, and this helps some of the patients that we're testing in lung disease. We are currently in a lung disease called pulmonary sarcoidosis. After learning that a particular fragment could be really useful in controlling lung inflammation, and that is administered now through an IV.
Now tell us about that condition, pulmonary sarcoidosis.
Pulmonary sarcoidosis is a chronic lung disease characterized by a lot of inflammation. There's a lot of immune cells in the lungs of these patients. They have a cough, fatigue, shortness of breath, and they need to be put on immunosuppressants, drugs that basically calm down the immune system, sometimes for their whole life. The scary thing is your lungs can progress to become scarred or fibrotic. And that's a scary thing for these patients, because once that happens, really bad things can happen. You need a lung transplant, or you might even die. Now, sarcoidosis is a condition you may have heard of a little bit more recently in the last 20 years, because a high proportion of the workers who cleaned up the debris at 9/11, unfortunately, came down with sarcoidosis. Probably had to do with a lot of the inhalation of all that toxic matter down there. So those folks that worked on the pile, if you will, they are the ones that unfortunately breathed in a lot of that toxic material, and it triggered sarcoidosis in a very, very high proportion of those patients. And many of those individuals then progressed quickly to develop a scarred lung. And unfortunately, we've seen a lot of death and illness in that population. So sarcoidosis is really a condition where probably inhaling bad things triggers a reaction, and that reaction is something that is unremitting and leads to a lot of bad things for patients down the road. And I should also mention, when I talk about immunosuppressants, typically these patients are put on steroids. And steroids are something that many of the listeners will know about for a variety of conditions. And they're very potent drugs that basically can tamp down and control your immune system. They can be used for a variety of conditions, and they've been around for a long time. Unfortunately, they do also come with serious side effects. But patients sometimes have to take steroids to live their lives. And it's a tough bargain for them to have to take this toxic therapy to basically live their lives.
ATIRE is well along with testing this treatment for pulmonary sarcoidosis. You're actually in phase 3, but tell us what you've done starting in phase 1. What did you do and what did you learn at each stage?
Yes, and this is very important because we are charting new ground here. We are pioneering a new area of therapy. So we have to start very carefully. We understood, again, how to make these little guys into therapies, but then you had to test it. And then, as you mentioned, phase 1 is where you first start testing things. Phase 1 is where you test in healthy people. You want to make sure the new therapy you give to individuals does not cause any additional or new harm. So healthy volunteers were tested. We tested 6 doses of our therapy, and basically incrementally worked our way up where the first all 6 doses were viewed to be safe by the FDA. And the top 3 doses were the ones that then moved into phase 2. And phase 2 is after you get through healthy volunteers and you've proven that the drug is safe and well tolerated in a healthy population. Phase 2 involves administering the therapy, giving the therapy to patients, because now what you want to see is, well, can you offer any benefit? Is this a therapy that will improve their lives in any kind of way? And we did complete a phase 2 trial last year prior to moving into phase 3. And there's a number of things we learned there. Again, the primary thing is to make sure the drug is still safe now in a patient population. And we were able to show that the drug, again, these top 3 doses were safe and well tolerated. In addition, we want to see that the drug actually starts to do something in these patients. So we looked at that multiple ways. The most common way you look at things when you administer therapy in the lungs is to see if it's breathing, the lungs got better. Things like pulmonary function testing, this is what the doctors want to see improved. And we did see trends of improvement in our top 2 doses that we tested in that trial. We also saw, perhaps more importantly, a significant improvement in the quality of life of patients. Patients coughed less, they had better, less shortness of breath, and their fatigue was really, really improved. So now we're seeing that the lungs are feeling better, and they're also their quality of life is better. The biggest take home, however, was we did all of that while removing steroids. And this has not been seen before. It's a trifecta. You want to be able to show at the local level, the lungs start to feel better, people start to feel better, and now you're also able to remove some of this toxic therapy, because that therapy is causing other things. So very, very encouraging results that we published last year in a major medical journal before we went into phase three.
So tell us about phase three. This is a much bigger trial.
Phase three is a bigger trial. Phase three now is where you have to align with worldwide regulators. We are conducting this trial not only in the United States, but in 9 countries, Europe, also in Japan. And this is the first phase three trial ever in pulmonary sarcoidosis. So we're looking to replicate some of the findings we saw in the previous trial, which was a small trial of 37 patients. This trial will be 264 patients. You need to now look at a bigger patient population so that you can run statistics to prove what you saw as trends in phase two are really true in a larger patient population. So we are testing the 2 doses from phase two, the 2 highest doses that we saw the best results, and now running a placebo-controlled trial in 264 patients. And instead of just following them for 6 months, like we did in the previous trial, we're going to follow them for a year. Our goal here is we think we can improve quality of life. We think we can improve lung function. But most importantly, we're going after steroids. We hate steroids. I hate steroids. In my career as a drug development physician, I've always tried to attack steroids in different conditions. Steroids are something that we think we know we can reduce based on the results from the last study. Could we even eliminate steroids in these patients? That's what we're testing here. That would be a phenomenal result. That's something we're looking to test here in phase three.
Now, I know ATIRE is working on other conditions, and you've got your map. You've got your map there, and you've got other conditions going on. What are you working on, and what do you foresee working on?
Yeah, so I remember we talked about this map where we see all these little fragments from this area of biology with these matching enzymes. And looking at that map, we know there's other fragments that seem to be a little bit more targeted to, say, the liver or even the kidneys. So what we're looking in those other organs is how do these fragments work there? And could they be useful in other forms of inflammation and fibrosis? What we're learning quickly is that this is a system in our bodies, in healthy people, that might be able to help people with patients who have some sort of disability with certain organs. So it's a way to supplement now attacking maybe liver inflammation or fibrosis or kidney inflammation or fibrosis. So it's really exciting times when you think about it of these nearly 400 fragments. We didn't just get lucky picking the first one and putting it in just one disease. I think there's exciting times here to look at some of these other fragments and what could they do and how could they help patients with other kinds of diseases where those organs may be affected.
Well, Dr. Shukla, I'm going to give you an A. I hope you're happy, but you might not be totally happy. I'm giving Dr. Schimmel an A+. I think he deserves that, don't you think?
I think my grade is still pending, but I certainly agree with that. Dr. Schimmel absolutely gets an A+.
Oh, that's a great idea. I'm sorry. Watch out. My students are liable to listen to this and say, I'm sorry, Dr. Gunn, my grade is still pending.
Right.
It's always something to learn here. Always something to learn. Dr. Shukla, thank you so much for joining us, and I hope you'll come back and see us again.
Thank you again, and I absolutely will be happy to come back.
My guest today is Dr. Sanjay Shukla, President and CEO of ATIRE Pharma. More information is available at atirepharma.com. That's ATIRE, A-T-Y-R, atirepharma.com. Listen to more biotech podcasts at biotechnation.com or subscribe on your favorite podcast provider. Biotech Nation is a regular feature of the weekly public radio program Tech Nation. Listen to the full show via podcast or on your local public radio station. For Biotech Nation, I'm Moira Gunn.